Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome in to another wonderful edition of the NFL Front Office Show, brought to you by the Sports City Chefs. I am one of your hosts, Brian Hughes. We will be joined by my other co-host, Roderick Jones, here in a few minutes. Today we have a pretty special show for you planned. So, as our regular listeners know, we've been covering the NFL draft this entire offseason. We've looked at position by position the different groups that in the draft, such as defensive tackle, defensive end, linebackers, corners, safeties, quarterbacks, you know, guards, centers, offensive tackles, wide receivers, tight ends, running backs. We've looked at all these groups, and by looking at these groups, we've been able to identify a lot of the premier players. We've been able to look at a lot of guys that are really high-end talent. Now, we've had professional draft scouts come on, guys that have actually been, you know, scouts for NFL teams, got their opinion. We've had on major publication like the Sporting News. We've had on some of their draft analysts. And now we've seen the draft, so it's time to really break down the draft, see where we stand when the, you know, as far as the draft is concerned, and kind of make sense of all this. Before we do, I do have a caller in queue here I do want to bring in. He's ready to come into the kitchen. Caller calling in from the 518. You are on with the chefs. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Brian. How are you doing, man?
Oh, it's my good friend James Greenwood, formerly of Sports City here, and also of the this particular show, the Front Office Show. James, how you been?
Oh, you know, I've been enjoying a bit of time off, but you couldn't keep me away forever. What can I say?
Well, let me start with this to you. I'm assuming you caught the draft. Was there any real surprises for you in the NFL draft, or anything that kind of stood out to you? You know, what would be the thing that you'll take away from this draft? If there was a storyline, what would it be for you?
For me, there's a few storylines. First is the obvious two quarterback controversy. But the biggest, and you know, that's always going to be front and forward because it went one and two, and either or both could be epic failures at the next level, and for very different reasons. The other big thing to take away from this draft, in my mind, as kind of a broader picture, is character concerns and injuries. It seemed that a good number of really good players dropped because of one of these two concerns, and while that's not necessarily something new, it seemed to become we became a lot more conscious of it this year. And the one thing that I think is going to have lasting effect is what happened to Lael Collins. If in fact he is innocent of what he is not even accused of as of right now, but what he is supposedly connected with, the team he decides to go to as an undrafted free agent can make huge changes to what goes on in the next couple of seasons, because frankly, you're getting a first round caliber left tackle for undrafted free agent money. And that is something that can change the fortunes of a team really quickly.
That's some great points. I do have my co-host now in queue here. Rodri, how you doing today, buddy? How'd you enjoy the draft?
What a fantastic occasion, Brian. I'm just watching it coming from Chicago out there. It was something special, I thought. I'm just moving outside of New York, seeing it the way it went down, man. Just inspirational, you know, more than anything. When I look back at it, it was great seeing Butkus go up there. And, you know, the way they introduced the picks go from there, just fantastic. And, yeah, and a lot of picks shocked me, as always, and can't wait to get into it and talk about it.
All right. Well, without any further ado, gentlemen, because I'd like to get through the 16 NFC teams today, We're going to go division by division just in case we do run out of time. But I am going to ask you to try to limit the commentation only because there's three of us. We're going to start with the team that was picking number one, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Just to remind those at home, round one, pick one. They selected quarterback Jameis Winston from Florida State. Round two, they took Donovan Smith, the offensive tackle from Penn State. Into round two, they traded back up with the Colts for Ali Marpet, the Division III prospect from Hobart and Williams South, offensive line prospect. Round four, Quan Alexander, the talented linebacker from LSU. Round five, they took Kenny Bell, wide receiver from Nebraska. Round six, Kalen Clay, wide receiver from Utah. And finally, round seven, Joey Asafi, the fullback from Hawaii. Rodri, I'm going to let you bat lead off on this. How did you grade this overall draft, and what was the pick that kind of helped solidify this grade for you?
Well, coming in, you know, I was wondering how they were going to go after Jameis Winston. I thought Jameis Winston was the pick they were going to take. For me, what they did well, Bri, was that they took him and then they protected him straight after with Donovan Smith and Ali Marpet. Division III Ali Marpet, you know, I watched a lot of programs on him prior to the draft. Really impressed me. And for me, forgetting those two players after Jameis Winston and protecting him, you know, GM Jason Light did a great job protecting their current franchise quarterback. So I give them an A grade for that, right? You know, for me, they get an A for that, and some nice quality talent going right back into picks at round seven. So yeah, for me, an A grade on them, Bri.
All right, James, same question, buddy. If you had to give a letter grade, what would be the overall grade, and what was the pick that kind of helped solidify your grade?
Well, obviously, Jameis Winston is a huge risk for several reasons, mainly a higher interception number from last year. Then there is the shoulder issue that could also bring him down, and on top of that, there's the off the field questions as well. But they stood fast and took the best player quarterback that was on the board, and I commend them for that. I give them a solid B because not only did they take the franchise quarterback that a lot of teams would have been squeamish about, I'm not going to lie, but they also went out and made sure that they didn't Derek Carr him. They've got good wide receivers in-house already. They bulked the offensive line. They made sure that Jameis Winston didn't have any excuses for failing. And they did that starting day one. Ali Marpet is not a guy I got to see a lot of tape on, but guys I do trust, like Josh Buchanan, had him rated as a second or third round and one of the top small school prospects in the country, so I defer to his knowledge on that. But overall, I'd say a solid D+ for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You know what? I actually have the exact same grade, James. I have a B+ as well. And the only reason that this is not an A for me, guys, is one glaring hole. Of all the names I mentioned there, no pass rush, no defensive end. And you have to consider that both of their starting defensive ends, Adrian Claiborne, left in free agency, and Michael Johnson, who was cut at the end of last year and re-signed with the Cincinnati Bengals, they have no pass rusher. That's the only thing that would have helped this draft for me. I look at round five, where they draft back-to-back wide receivers. They've already got three or four very capable wide receivers on this team. That's the only thing that I would have said different. For me, in order to get an A, you have to draft players at positions of need, but they have to be impact players. That's the only position that I put question marks. One of the things that I just wrote down here, guys, was Michael Bennett. He fell to the sixth round, and they had a late fit they could have drafted. Now, keep in mind, I understand he's a defensive tackle, but he is a penetrator. There was also some pass rushers available, so I went B+. Carolina Panthers, Carolina also had an interesting draft. I will bat lead off on this one. When you look at the Carolina Panthers draft, It's interesting to me for one very particular reason. This was the only team, at least in recent memory, that finished with a sub 500 record that was picking in the mid-20s. I can't remember another time that that's happened. If it has, feel free to enlighten me, but I can't think of another team that drafted that low in the draft, pick 25. and was picking that low in the draft and had that type of record. But let's go ahead and get into the picks. Round one, they took the outside linebacker from Washington, Shaq Thompson. Round two, they took Devin Funchess, wide receiver from Michigan. Round three, they took Darrell Williams, offensive guard from Oklahoma. Round four, they had no round three pick. I apologize, guys. Round four, they took Darrell Williams, offensive guard from Oklahoma. Round five was David Mayo, the linebacker from Texas State. And their final pick in round five was Cameron Artis Payne, the running back from Auburn. Carolina did initiate two trades, trading up to in the second round to number 41 from, I believe it was number 60. So they did have to give up. They did have to give up a, I believe it was a fifth and a seventh, or maybe it was a third and a seventh. So they did have to give up quite a bit to move up from there. And then they also moved up again in the fourth round, and that's the reason why they've only got five selections. I gave this draft a B-. I was tempted to give it a C+, but I do like some of the players that were selected. My real concern with this draft, guys, is – when you think about Carolina, the two areas that I particularly look at that I felt like they should have addressed in this draft, one was corner and the other was defensive line. They've lost Hardy. He's gone. I think they could use some interior D-line help. You know, Star Lutui is great, but he was injured a little bit last year, so whether it would have been a defensive tackle, a defensive end, that would have been nice. A cornerback, that would have been nice. But once again, they moved up and moved all around. I did like the Devin Funchess pick round two. This is a guy that we've talked a lot about. I think he has the skill set of a wide receiver, time speed, and when he fills out and grows out, I think he's probably going to end up being. I think he's probably going to end up being more of like that slot H-back Jimmy Graham type guy. He's 232, 6'4 right now. I think when it's all said and done, he's probably 245. I mean, you don't draft him in round two probably for the tight end purpose. You probably drafted him to be a wide receiver to pair with Kelvin Benjamin. But I just think when his body physically matures, that's what I see him being. So I gave him a B- because of no secondary help. You know, I didn't see a corner that I felt like they did need. I didn't see any D-line help, which is something I felt like they did need. But I was pleasantly surprised to see them help address the offensive line, so they got a B- from me. James, what was your thoughts?
I'm right at C+. I'm right there with you. I'm not so much on the D-line because they still have Charles Johnson, who is a phenomenal pass rusher in his own right, and in my personal opinion, the better of the two, even before you consider the off-the-field issues. But they did not address the secondary at all. And Shaq Thompson, while I like him as a player, and I believed he was a first-round pick, I honestly thought that you could have picked other players and just skipped the outside linebacker this year. They do have a very strong linebacking core already as it is. I'm against you on Devin Funchess. I mean, tight ends, particularly slow tight end speed when you're talking about receiving tight ends, probably faster than most of them in this particular draft class. But overall, I don't think he is particularly compelling as a tight end, and I think he's slow as a wide receiver, incredibly slow for a wide receiver. And while I think he's got a lot of good possession ability, short, maybe some intermediate routes, I don't think that he's going to – a lot of people are making the comparison that nobody liked Kelvin Benjamin either when he was coming out, but I think those are completely apples and oranges comparisons. And I would be surprised if he had I would be shocked if he had that kind of impact. And if he's a starter in 5 years, I'd be surprised as well.
All right, good points, good points. I will just say for me personally, I like Devin Funchess coming out better than I liked Kelvin Benjamin coming out. Benjamin did surprise me a little bit. Rodri, I'm going to come over to you. Give me your thoughts on the Carolina Panthers draft, and you be the deciding factor. Do you like Devin Funchess? Is he a player?
I think he is, Bri. You know, you made some fantastic points about him. You know, when we graded the draft coming into this, I was in two minds about him. I didn't really know whether he was inside or an outside player, whether he was going to move to tight end, what he was going to do. Is he the next Jimmy Graham? Is he a huge like Vincent Jackson? You know, Brandon Marshall. To me, you know, the proof's in the pudding with him. You have to go and see what he's going to do. I know he's going to be a matchup nightmare. That's one thing I know he's going to be. But we're just going to have to see with him. I really didn't have him as a first-round pick. I'm not surprised he went in round two. For me, Shaq Thompson was an interesting pick. There's two players that he reminds me so much of in the past, and that's Thomas Davis and Derek Brooks. Both of those were questionable safeties coming in, and both were ended up being fantastic linebackers. I think that's what they've seen in him. I think that's what they like in him coming out of Washington. And for me, he can be that guy. The pick I really like, Darrell Williams, coming out of Oklahoma. You know, he's country strong. You know, he's a road grader. And I think he can boost the Carolina's run game. Going in round four, that was a nice pick. So, yeah, for me, same grade as you, by B-. But overall, you know, just have to wait to see how it plays out. But, yeah, enjoyed it. Like their draft, simple, but some good talent. Some good talent for sure.
All right, so, James, I'm going to let you bat lead off this time. We're now on the Atlanta Falcons draft. This is the first draft under new head coach Dan Quinn. And, you know, most of the experts would say they did pretty well. Now, you know, I always take that with a grain of salt anytime you're looking at a team that's drafting inside the top 10. But Atlanta, round one, pick one, they took Vic Beasley, the talented edge rusher from Clemson. Round two, they took Jalen Collins, the big corner. Round three, they took Tevin Coleman, running back from Indiana. Round four, they took Justin Hardy, wide receiver from East Carolina. Round five, they took Grady Jarrett, nose tackle from Clemson. Round seven, they took Jake Rogers, offensive tackle from Eastern Washington. And their final round seven pick, they took Akeem King, the defensive back from San Jose State. What was your thoughts on this draft?
I think this is an A-minus draft. There's two – I mean, the first two players could completely destroy this in a few years' time. Obviously, Collins has his own concerns that have been well-documented. Vic Beasley, I remember – this is funny how the draft changes and how analysis of the draft changes over time. I remember back a couple of years ago when we were talking about how crazy it was to draft a situational pass rusher in the top 10 of the NFL draft when we were talking about Bruce Irving. And essentially the Atlanta Falcons did the same thing, or at least to start out with. Vic Beasley, I do not think establishes the edge or establishes its run defense. Cannot hold the point at all. So he is basically a situational pass rusher. But the thing is, when we're talking about Atlanta, this is the thing they've been meeting for years and have been trying for years, free agency, draft picks, et cetera. I think they finally got that pass rush in building at this point. But the picks keep on getting better through day two as well. I mean, I like Collins. Assuming he keeps his head on straight, he's going to be a fantastic physical style corner, which obviously is going to work incredibly well with the scheme. And then they also found a really good player in a need that they've also been having for years and years, and that's the running back position. I think Tevin Coleman starts day one and never looks back.
All right, Rodri, I'm going to let you go number two. We got an A-minus from James. That's our first A. What's your thoughts on the Atlanta Falcons draft?
Yeah, Dan Quinn's first draft. You know, you can see the, to me, a Bruce Irvin pick and Vic Beasley. I mean, the way they use Bruce Irvin in Seattle. Dan Quinn, I think I got a lot of faith in Dan Quinn. For me, Jalen Collins, I was up in the air with him. I seen tape on him against Amari Cooper from Alabama. I wasn't so sure about him. Only 10 starts at LSU. Got a bit of Antonio Cromartie in him. I completely agree with James on the Tevin Coleman pick. I think he's going to be a good running back in this league. And, you know, losing Harry Douglas to free agency and bringing in Justin Hardy, you know, that's a nice move. That's a sensible move. Quite a sensible draft on them. It's all going to come down to see how Vic Beasley and Jalen Collins do, though, as you said. If those two fail, then this will be a bad draft. And for that reason, I give them a B+. Just give them a B+ to be safe, I think. They added Adrian Claiborne from the Bucks. You know, they have helped that pass rush. I was just going to see how it turns out. But, I definitely think Tevin Coleman's going to be a good running back in this league. Vic Beasley, the sky's the limit for him, but, you know, he's a situational pass rusher right now. But amazing athlete, easily the best athlete amongst Ed Rushers in the league. And he went as high as he did, deservedly. And he wanted to be an Atlanta Falcon. That's for sure. He did say that he wanted to play for Atlanta, and he's there now. So, you know, you got everything ready to go for him, and hopefully he can step up and be the player we all think he could be.
Yeah, I mean, you guys make some great, great, compelling points. I also have this draft graded as a B+. I graded pretty tough this year. I only got one team that received an A in all the NFC drafts. I love the Vic Beasley pick. You know what I think of when I think of, you know, everybody who talks about not being able to set the edge, things like that. I think of Von Miller, a guy who came into the league, similar rap on him, uber athletic, posted, I want to say 15 or 16 sacks his rookie year. You look at a guy like Aldon Smith, who was a situational pass rusher. He did not play base downs. He would come in pass rush situations, had 19 sacks his rookie year. That is more than enough to validate, to warrant a first-round pick to me. I don't care if you can set the edge. I want you to get to the passer and get us off the field on third downs or second and long or what have you. And I think Vic Beasley is the kind of guy that can do that. I don't like the Jalen Collins pick. Anybody who's listened to the show knows I am not a fan of Jalen Collins. He's had 10 starts. I know you can't teach measurables, but, guys, there was a ton of big physical corners in this draft. And to me, I think he's probably the most overhyped prospect in the entire draft. I would not be shocked if he does not play a single down this year for the Atlanta Falcons, because you look at the corners they already have there in Trufant and some of these other guys. I would not be shocked if he doesn't play a single down as a second-round pick, which is one of the main reasons why this is a B-plus grade for me. The other pick I really love that nobody's talking about is Justin Hardy, the wide receiver from East Carolina, the all-time leading FBS receptions leader. This kid is unbelievable. He's kind of a Harry Douglas clone, and I know they brought him back on a one-year deal, but to me, I think this kid's future is in the slot, working the underneath to intermediate routes for the Atlanta Falcons. Love the pick. The only thing for me, head-scratcher, guys, I know the Atlanta Falcons did not have a ton of picks, and I think it's worth noting that Grady Jarrett is an unbelievable player to grab in round 5. But I was really shocked to see no tight end. This team really still hasn't addressed the fact that Tony Gonzalez is no longer there. You look at Matt Ryan and what he was able to accomplish when he had that security blanket in Tony Gonzalez. And I understand far and few between, are you going to draft a player coming out that is going to be Tony Gonzalez? But for me, this would have been an A-grade draft, if opposed to taking a Jalen Collins, you would have taken a Max Williams, a Clive Wolford, or whoever your favorite tight end is, if you inserted them there. But I still think that tight end position is going to be an Achilles heel for this team. Let's go to the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans is the last team in this draft. Rodri, I'm going to kick this off with you, sir. When you look at New Orleans' draft, they had two first-round picks because of the fact that they made the trade with the Seattle Seahawks for Jimmy Graham, giving up their first-round pick. So we do got to factor that in, obviously, as well. New Orleans was picking, I believe, 12th. Let me take a look here. Yeah, they were picking 12th, or 13th, excuse me. And with their first pick, they took the talented offensive tackle, Andres Pete. The pick 31 they acquired from the Seahawks, they took Stephon Anthony, the inside linebacker from Clemson. In round two, they took Haloi Kikaha, the outside linebacker from Washington. Round three, they took Garrett Grayson, the quarterback from Colorado State. Their second round three pick that they acquired from the Dolphins, they took P.J. Williams. Did not have a fourth-round pick, so in round five, they took David Toll, outside linebacker from Tennessee Chattanooga, and Tyler Davison, defensive tackle from Fresno State. And also in round five, they took Damian Swan, corner from Georgia. And finally, in round seven, they took Marcus Murphy, the running back from Missouri. What was your thoughts on this draft?
To be honest, to me, this draft for them solidified in round three. Garrett Grayson and P.J. Williams, both going in round three. P.J. Williams, my second-ranked corner. He had a lot of reasons for falling, but to me, you know, in the national championship game a few years ago, he had the game MVP, and I really like the kid coming up to Florida State. He can play safety. You know, they signed Brandon Browner in free agency, you know, and adding Williams to him, to his game, that's fantastic. Andres Pete, you know, they need to solidify the right side of that line. You know, Jari Evans, Zach Strife, both in their 30s. They brought him in. Stephon Anthony's a very impressive inside linebacker coming out of Clemson. He'll start inside linebacker immediately, I think. I like what they did. But for me, round three, Garrett Grayson, you know, his game is very similar to Drew Brees, and Drew Brees being 36, you know, is he the next Drew Brees in round three? Coming in round three, I think he's got the talent to do that. Give him time. Give him a few years to sit. And then we'll see how that plays out. But for me, I'll give him a B, just based on the two round three picks that I really liked, and I thought P.J. Williams was going to go in round one, so to pick him up in round three was just fantastic for me for them. I'm excited for the Saints. Didn't really do much about Jimmy Graham though. I don't think there was a tight end in this draft that can really come in and do anything like he did and stuff like that. So for me, there was no reason to select tight end, and they can move
all
forward.
Right.
In
James,
that, so.
What's your thoughts on this draft?
I give it a B minus C plus. I'm not very impressed. First of all, I'm not the biggest Andreas P fan. I think he'll be a long term starting left tackle or perhaps a right tackle. He'll be a tackle at the next level. That's fine. I think that they were better overall players, probably not tackles, and I guarantee you that if they would have skipped on tackle, I can guarantee they wouldn't have gotten a better one in the next round. It's just not a pick that felt all that great to me. I do like P.J. Williams, just like Rodri does. I think that a low note was in round two, Haloi Kikaha. Yes, I did it. Maybe. but I think that this is only a pick that works out as long as Rob Ryan is the defensive coordinator. And I don't think there's many guys who are going to bring out a good level of production from this guy, and he's just lucky he landed in New Orleans. I think that I was not very impressed with him in tape at all. Don't get me wrong, Rob Ryan is still currently the defensive coordinator, but for how much longer? I do like the inside linebacker that they did select, Stephon Anthony. He's a guy who's going to start right away for New Orleans. But you also have to consider the fact that they traded Jimmy Graham. to get him as well. And don't get me wrong, I think that Jimmy Graham, eventually, he would have left for nothing. I think that New Orleans saw that writing on the wall as well, so good on them for getting something now out of it. But at the end of the day, it's still just a mess draft for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of a mixture between the two of you. I have a B-minus on him as well. I didn't really factor Graham in as much as maybe I should, but I do like Stephon Anthony. As Rodri could tell you, as anyone who could tell you listening to the show, I had him rated as my number two linebacker. And I said I thought he was a top 50 pick, and he ended up being that. And, I mean, even when people were saying this guy's a third, fourth, fifth-round pick, I stayed pretty resolute in that. A couple things that I'll just point out real quickly because we are running down in time. It was kind of interesting that in the third round, when New Orleans selects a quarterback with Bryce Petty, Brett Hundley, Sean Mannion, all these guys still on the board, that Garrett Grayson was the option they went with. I mean, he's a good player, coach's son, very smart kid, but physically he has limitations. He's not his arm. He does not have the arm strength that a guy like Drew Brees has. He can play with the anticipation. He's a smart guy. I get that. I just wonder if this pick comes back to bite them later on, and that's something we will find out later. I love the P.J. Williams pick as well. I think that the corner that they lost, that they covet so much, and that Rob Ryan defense in Keenan Lewis, I think that that's exactly the guy they're getting in P.J. Williams. And do not be surprised if by midseason he is a starter in New Orleans. I believe he will be. Let's move on to the NFC North. Rodri, I'm going to have you kick us off. We'll start with the Green Bay Packers. What was your thoughts on their draft?
Well, you know, they took Brett Hundley. Like Brian just said, I was shocked that he went so late. For me, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's at the head of that team. Demetrius Randall, I thought Landon Collins would have went ahead of him. He's more, you know, he's possibly more coverage ready. He can move about a bit better, and a prototype free safety of today's game, you know, at 196 pounds, 5'11". Quinton Rollins then, you know, definitely, you know, showing up there secondary. Ty Montgomery, Jake Ryan, you know, Brett Hundley. For me, Brett Hundley coming in round 5 was a bit of a shock, Brian. I mean, me and you talked about him possibly being a first round pick. Something was up there. Don't know exactly what it was. I'd give him a B. I'd give him a B minus. You know, Quinton Rollins played basketball. You know, he's a heck of an athlete. And I think, you know, if those two secondary players can show up that secondary, then that'd be great. And I don't know how Brett Hundley's gonna turn out. You know, he's gonna develop behind Aaron Rodgers the way Aaron Rodgers developed behind Brett Favre. And then, you know, this aspect is potential to become a highly coveted quarterback down the line. So, you know, perhaps he'd work out. But for me, yeah, a B minus.
All right, for me, I gave him a C, and I was tempted to possibly even go lower than that. I do not like this draft at all. This draft could turn out to be one of the best drafts in this entire, you know, year's draft class. The problem is there's just too many question marks around this draft. You look at Demarius Randall, he's a late riser. Does he have coverage ability? Sure. But he never performed like one of the top safeties in the draft, if you look at his time at Arizona State. So he's kind of a boomer bust prospect. I know when we had on our friend Eric Galco, that he said, you know, look, don't be surprised if this guy goes late in round one. I'm hearing a lot of rumblings. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. Round two, Quinton Rollins, same kind of player, big boomer bust type player. You're talking about a kid that has 1 year of Division I college football experience. You know, nobody else even has tape on this kid. You know, like you know, James has said and some other people have said, remember how effective the zone read run was when it first came out, or the Wildcat, you know, when the Dolphins first started using it. Give people a year or two to adjust to this kid. And then let's see, you know, we'll see how he plays. He's going to need it to continue to develop. But especially in Green Bay, I just don't see a corner running a 4.65, 4.67 as ever going to be an elite boundary corner, which tells me that the pick was not worth it. Ty Montgomery, same thing. A lot of people were talking about him as a first or second round pick, had a horrible senior season, did not perform well at the combine or the Senior Bowl, and still got picked in round three. There is just way too much uncertainty, at the top of the draft. Never mind the fact that Green Bay didn't address, to me, two of their biggest positions of need, which is tight end and offensive line. So for me, I gave this a C-. They may have addressed some needs, but from my perspective, I have to give the grade based on my rankings. I think they took way too many gambles. It's one thing to take one gamble in the first three rounds. I think all three of their first-round picks are gambles. James?
I'm closer to you than I am to Rotary there, Brian. And this is really odd. We're agreeing way too much for this to be the NFL front office show, Brian. This can't be right at all. I will disagree with you on Rollins. I think Rollins has tremendous potential. Worst case scenario, I think he is a very strong slot corner. And being able to jam those tiny little speedy guys on the inside could really work out well for Green Bay. I think that there's always the possibility that if Randall does, kind of bust out, he could make the transition to safety as well. I think and he did play really well in which I forget which college bowl game he was in, but practiced well and played well in that bowl game, and I forgot.
East West Shrine.
East West Shrine. That's it. I'm a little rusty, if you can't tell. I agree with you on Ty Montgomery, speedster, a guy who might develop into something good. Best case scenario for him is a slot wide receiver, which, in Green Bay isn't too bad, but I do think it's going to take some considerable development time, more than your average 2 years for a wide receiver. The saving grace for this is Brett Hundley. And I think that outside of Mariota and Jameis Winston, the other big comparison, I think, going down the line is going to be Hundley versus Garrett Grayson. I think that, in my personal opinion, New Orleans made a mistake. If you have 4 years to develop a guy, 3 or 4 years to develop a guy, which is what you've got considering the age of Drew Brees, you take the guy with the high upside and the great work ethic. That's Brett Hundley. And I'm not even going to get into what the Jets did when they selected Bryce Petty either. To me, when we're talking about upside, and that's what we're talking about at this point in the draft, is upside and ability to be an elite passer at the next level. I think Hundley is, of that second tier, has the highest upside by far.
No, you make a really good point there, James. Because I got a couple emails from both from Nacho here in the Sports City Chef studio, and then also from a couple Packers fans. Everybody's up in arms. They didn't draft an inside linebacker. Keep in mind, in a 3-4 system, Jake Ryan, the outside linebacker they selected from Michigan, he's going to move inside. So they did select an inside linebacker. Jake Ryan is kind of the Garrett Grayson of inside linebackers. He's a smart, heady guy, plays assignment, sound football. He's not going to flash or wow you with athleticism, but he's just going to always be in the right place, kind of like Chris Borland, a guy you liked quite a bit that you had pegged a lot righter than I did, James. But let's move on. Chicago is next. James, give me your thoughts on Chicago's draft.
I actually, and I'm going to be the outlier in this, I hated Chicago's draft. Almost top to bottom. I do like Kevin White. I think that he is the Julio Jones to Amari Cooper's A.J. Green. But after that, the nose tackle that they took in round two, Goldman, they are moving to the 3-4. They needed a nose tackle. I get it from a positional need standpoint. But the problem from the one or two tapes that I saw of Goldman is that he was stood up by, you know, your stronger offensive guards alone. What is his ability going to be like when he has to face a guard and a center? That is something that has to be really curious to me when it comes to Eddie Goldman. Jeremy Langford, I think, is their best pick in the draft. But with that said, you have Matt Forte and Kadeem Carey actually turned out to be a very good backup for the Chicago Bears. So I don't see where Jeremy Langford exactly fits in unless they're planning on using him in a you know, return man type role, or maybe moving Kadeem Carey to a full-time return man. I don't see the overwhelming need, although I think the value is fantastic there. I gave this one my second lowest grade in the entire NFL at a C minus.
All right, Rodri, I'm going to come over to you. James, not a fan of Chicago's draft. They did pick up a safety I know you like, and Adrian Amos in round 5. What's your thoughts on his draft?
Yeah, Adrian Amos, great pick. You know, with a new head coach, new general manager, as the both of you know, comes a new set of philosophies. Bray, I had you a guy, Vic Fangio, your ex defensive coordinator from San Francisco, brought in Ray McDonald with him. And adding Eddie Goldman to that defensive line, I think at 336, he's stout at the point of attack. I think he's stout at the point of attack. The question is to me, can he play sub packages, or is he just a two-down run stuffer? I mean, to me, that's the question. Kevin White, hands down, I can't find a fault in Kevin White's game. I really like Kevin White. He won a 4-3-5 at the combine. His hands, natural ball catches, so exciting. And it's going to be on Jay Cutler now to get it done with him there. Adrian Amos was a great pick, but I liked him in round 5, hell of a steal. Jeremy Langford will back up Matt Forte. I really like what they've done, great two. I thought the first two picks were great, and I give him a B plus. I know the draft was in Chicago, and a lot of things were made of the picks because of that, but Aronis Grassu as well, center from Oregon. That was a great pick for me. He's highly efficient at Oregon, 4-year starter for the Ducks, and he can be a great player also. So, yeah, for me, there's about 4 or 5 good players in there that I really like, and I give him a B-plus for that.
And I can appreciate that. I actually gave them a C, a solid C. Kevin White, I'm not going to disagree with anything you guys said. For me, I think their best pick is Hanasis Grassu, the center that was selected in round 3. I don't think this kid gets nearly enough credit. Very, very strong. I mean, if you go back and look at his tape, 4-year starter, as you mentioned, Rodri, he's played up against guys like Star Latui. He played up against guys like Leonard Williams. He's played up against many, many first-round talents and had great success. I think this kid's going to be a stalwart for the Chicago Bears, and I think there's a really good chance he starts from day one. My only question is this, and as you guys know, anytime you're switching from the 4-3 to the 3-4, there's one thing you have absolutely got to have. You got to have, and that's pass rushers. You got to have 3-4 outside pass rushers. They did nothing to address that, nothing to address the 3-4 outside linebacker position. If you're going to truly be switching your scheme, which is what Vic Fangio does, is the 3-4 scheme, you've got to have outside edge rushers. And I'm not sold on any of the guys that are currently on their roster. Shea McClellan, nope. I'm not sold on any of these guys. And I think there was enough talent in this draft in the first couple rounds, I'll be the first to say it. To me, Kevin White was a luxury pick. You had Alshon Jeffrey, who's a great, fantastic player. You have other players. You needed a complementary type player, and I think Kevin White, although great, I think really may have cost you defensively. You do not have any studs, and which is going to cause, once again, this defense to have to send extra people to get pressure, and that's what I worry about. So for me, I gave Chicago's grade a C. Let's move on to Detroit's guys, which I'm sure you're both pretty familiar with, so I don't have to get into the picks and players. James, I'll let you go first. What was your thoughts on Detroit's draft?
I might be biased, so might want to hold my enthusiasm with a bit of a grain of salt, but I absolutely love this draft. I think it is an A-minus type draft. I love the Lycan Thomason pick. If you watch the Senior Bowl practices, he stonewalled everybody. There wasn't a guy who got past him from the guard position, and has the ability to move out to tackle in a pinch. He's not a guy that I would place that permanently, but I think that worst-case scenario, getting that there is great. Add to that, that you were able to get Manuel Ramirez back back in Honolulu Blue from the Denver Broncos is fantastic. He Ramirez and Swanson are going to compete for Dominic Raiola's vacant center spot, and either way, I think that's a great addition to the team. The one pick I did not like is Amir Abdullah, the running back from Nebraska. Small hands. I think that in the next level he's gonna have a little bit of trouble catching. I also think that ball security has been a big issue for him for a long time. So if he can get past that, he'll be a great pick. He'll be the replacement to Reggie Bush that we've been looking for. That we needed from this position. At worst, I imagine he's probably a third down running back, and Julius Bell takes the vast majority of the carries, which I think is fine. Alex Carter, I think, could potentially be a starter for Detroit from round three. And Gabe Wright, I think, could potentially start next to Haloti Ngata, or at least be a rotational guy next to Haloti Ngata starting in year one. So both those guys, I think, are going to contribute right away, and I think were rather good picks. And then, we've needed a fullback for the new offense for a while. It's something that under Jim Schwartz wasn't really a thing. So grabbing him in round five, maybe a little early for a fullback, but do with that as you may. And Quandre Diggs could potentially be a guy that you could move around nickel corner. More than likely for the first few years anyway, he will probably be more likely a special teams contributor at most. But overall, I think they hit a lot of their needs. They solidified the entirety of the offensive line with really young talent, and I think this is going to be great for Detroit in the future, A-minus for me.
All right. Rodri, what did you think about Detroit's draft?
Yeah, I really like what James just said there. That's very insightful. I was watching a YouTube video about 2 months ago, and I put Amir Abdullah a video on, and it came on. It was like that, the Eminem song, "Everybody in the 313." And I just thought, watch this game. He hits the hole. He's gone. I thought this kid would be perfect in Detroit, and look, he just landed here, and I'm very excited about him. Lakin Thomason is a pick. I didn't have him going in the first round, but Brian, I think you had him high on your list when we was ranking offensive linemen. I think you had him right at the top. If I'm
number
not
two.
Wrong. Number two. So
yeah, I had
so,
him number two as a first round grade.
So yeah, so I, you know, when I come up, I give props to you there. For him to go in the first round. You know, he's a great guard. He's a people mover in the phone booth. You know, he's strong, and he can get the job done. That offensive line is looking good at the moment. Gabe Wright. Yeah, you know, after losing Fairley and Sue comes in, can he start with Nata? I hope so. I'm excited about the picks again. I'm gonna give him a B+. You know, I just want to see Detroit do well. I want to see that city City rise and do well. So, you know, I'm hoping they can. A big offensive tackle, Corey Robinson out of South Carolina, picked in round 7, 6'7", 324 pounds. You know, I think he can be a nice addition to the offensive line. Likely at right tackle only, though. But, you know, surprise, no, he could be a bookend there. So, yeah, I'm happy about the draft. I like what I see. And, you know, yeah, hopefully it does good. And, yeah, I'm excited, especially about Amir Abdullah. I'm excited about that.
I also went with a B+, Rodri. I like this draft. This is one of the highest draft grades I had. Like I told you guys, only give one A of all 16 NFC teams. I like Amir Abdullah more than James does. I like Laken Tomlinson. The only thing that kept this from being an A for me is I wasn't as enamored with the picks round 3 through 5. The Alex Carter, Gabe Wright, Michael Burton, as everybody else. It hits positions of need, so I could be wrong, but I just look at the players that were there. For me, the pick of the draft for Detroit, and James touched on it a little bit, but he didn't you know, hit it with a hammer, if you will, is Quandre Diggs. I think he's a stud. Number one, he reminds me a lot of the Honey Badger, and I will tell you right now, I'll make a bold statement, even though I know he's low in the draft, he will not only outperform Alex Carter, the third-round pick, I think he'll be your opening day nickel corner. He's that good. Really good movement skills, willing to compete, get-up-in-your-face kind of player, and he's got a lot of experience. I think he'll be a nickel corner right out the gate, which is obviously something you need when you play teams like the Green Bay Packers. Finally, the Minnesota Vikings. Rodri, why don't you lead us off? What did you think of the Vikings draft?
For me, they got the steal of the draft. I had TJ Clemens going 10th to the New York Giants. I know they went a bit out of the way than the Giants did, but, you know, select the kid out of Miami. But for me, TJ Clemens in 2 years' time, when people look back, people are going to realize how much of a steal this kid was. Injury concerns pushed him down the board. You know, he has athleticism to develop into a staple. At left or right tackle, either one. He's nasty, but he's very raw. And for me, he's going to be the steal of the draft, without question. And they needed to upgrade at corner and linebacker, and they did that right away. Trey Wayne, coming in. He's going to start opposite Xavier Rhodes. I think, you know, he's ideal press cornerback. And I know Mike Zimmer loves his press corners. You know, he showed that in Cincinnati when he was there. This is the guy for Zimmer. Wayne's is very comfortable in pass coverage, and you know, if you play defense at Michigan State, you know you're well coached, so that's a great pick for them. Eric Kendricks, inside linebacker, another great pick of you at UCLA. I think we can say, you know, with certainty that the Vikings like linebackers from UCLA. You know, they drafted Anthony Barr last year. I know they take Kendricks, so you know his instincts are outstanding, and you know you can get to the trash, and he'll play nicely with Barr. He knows Barr's game, so that'll be great for him. Daniel Hunter, Michael Pruitt, tight end, another good pick. Really like the Michael Pruitt pick. Stephon Diggs, Tyus Thompson, BJ DeBose, Austin Shepard, some nice boys there. No Shepard coming out of
what'd
Alabama.
You give them,
I'll give them a B plus. Same as the Lions. I think they did well. B plus for me, Bri.
I gave them an A. This is the only A that I gave in the NFC. And it really was solidified by the first four rounds for me. I look at the first four rounds, and you could make an argument that they got a top three player just about at each position. You know, when you talk about Trey Wayne's at corner, Eric Kendricks at inside linebacker, Daniel Hunter at defensive end, a 4-3 defensive end, and then TJ Clemens, as you know. But I mean, Eric Kendricks, to me, was kind of the solidification. This team really needed a linebacker. You know, Greenway is getting older. You know, Barr is great, but they needed that guy, that three-down linebacker that could be, you know, their version of Luke Kuechly. And as you know, Rodri, I have a lot of respect for Kendricks' game. You know, I feel like a lot of people have disrespected this kid as far as, you know, trying to say he's too small, not athletic enough, not fast enough. I think people are going to see that a lot of that was just hype. You know what? Tape doesn't lie. I don't care if you ran a 4.7. If I pop on the tape and you look like you run 4.5, that's what I go by. And just like with Devin Funchess, I wasn't as worried about the time speed, because if you watch the tape, he gets separation. He plays faster than he is. I think Eric Kendricks plays faster than he is. I gave him an A. I think they hit on all their needs. I think they needed offensive line help, which you mentioned, TJ Clemmings. You know, he may not be major contributor from day one, but not only that, but he's really young. Remember, he's only 20 years old right now. He's a kid that he could be the offensive tackle on that left side for the next 12 to 15 years, you know, when he gets healthy. He's a phenomenal athlete, really, really has wide receiver type feet. And I think Daniel Hunter from LSU may be one of the most underrated prospects in the entire draft. You watch this kid. You watch LSU. Every time I turned on tape of LSU to watch Quan Alexander, to watch Jalen Collins, this kid just kept showing up again and again and again and again. I think he's a really, really good athlete that's going to help this team. I gave him an A. I think they hit on a lot of needs. I think that they've got at least four or maybe even five guys that will start from year one. And one other name we have to throw out there is Stephon Diggs. This guy really can do it all. He can play inside. He can play outside. He's a phenomenal kick and punt returner, which helps to free up some of the other guys that were doing some of these other roles. He's also a great gunner on special teams. I think they knocked the draft out of the park with this particular draft, so I gave him an A. James, what's your thoughts on this grade or on this draft for the Minnesota Vikings?
I loved it just as much as you did, Brian. A plus for me. Quite honestly, every pick was a hit. You know, Trey Waynes, great best corner in the draft class, by far in my estimation, is going to start forever right across from Xavier Rhodes. Eric Kendricks, in my opinion, the best or at worst second best inside linebacker of this draft class. He's going to start there for a long time. I'm right there with you. Tape doesn't lie, and tape showed me that this guy is going to be pretty freaking awesome. You follow that with TJ Cummings. And the injury, at the beginning of the show, at the top of the show, when I was talking about injuries and character concerns made this draft very, very different. Well, TJ Cummings is one of the Minnesota Vikings are one of the benefactors to this, because the guy was a first-round pick, in my estimation. He was better than Andreas Pete for me, and then he got hurt. And I think the Minnesota Vikings capitalized on that incredibly well. And then, Pruitt, I think he'll be a decent backup tight end, which isn't bad. And then Stephon Diggs, worst-case scenario for him is that he's the number three wide receiver and return threat guy. And that's assuming that Cordarrelle Patterson steps up and we see a little bit more of him from his rookie year than any year past that. There's not enough you can say about this draft, hit after hit after hit. I'm very sad as a Lions fan, because the past 2 years have been amazing for the Minnesota Vikings, and I think we're going to, if not this year, then definitely next year, we're going to see the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs.
Well, guys, I'd love to have been able to get completely through the draft. Unfortunately, it looks like the post-draft show, if you will, is probably going to have to be broken up into four episodes, north, south, east, west, for NFC and AFC. Next week, it looks like we will get into the NFC East and the NFC West before we tackle the AFC and how they did. I want to give you guys a quick opportunity to shout out, to plug anything you can do. amazing show with you, Rodri. And James, give me a final thought before we head out of the kitchen.
Not much for me. I'll be here next week. Can't wait, dude.
All right, well, we appreciate it. Rodri, any final thoughts here, buddy, before we head out of the kitchen until next week when we review both the East and West NFC teams?
I'm looking forward to that. Pleasure to have James back. Great go for the show, you bud. And Brian, awesome again. Just what an impressive weekend of sport, you know, with the Pacquiao Mayweather fight. 5 o'clock in the morning, I was on over here in the UK. So, you know, I was pretty knackered by the time it all finished. Looking to bring out a few columns soon to go over the draft a bit and some stuff on shoe design and things like our sports. SportsCityChefs.com. People in the UK and the US, you know, we're the Sports City Chef team, and we're bringing it to you. You know, we're gonna wreck it. So, boys, see you next week. All the best.
Well, from all of us here at the Sports City Chef's Kitchen, as Rodri said, check out our website, www.sportcitychefs.com. Player interviews, blogs, NFL write-ups. We may have, within the next couple weeks, we may have a pretty big-time guest coming on. We're working on that, so we'll see how things work out. So keep tuning in. Also, feel free to contact us at either the Sports City Chefs email, sportscitychefs@gmail.com, or if you have a question or concern and you want to contact me directly, you can hit me on Twitter at the NFL Expert with a S, experts.com, or experts, excuse me, or you can go hit me at bhughestsi@yahoo.com. Either way, from all of us here at the Sports City Chef's Kitchen, the NFC South and North grades have been turned in. It's been an awesome show. Good night, everybody.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
It's the 10 crack commandments.
One, two, three.
Man, can't tell me nothing about this coke. Can't tell me nothing about this crack, this weed, my hustling niggas.